My guess is that we can all relate to that in some way or another. It's good to have you here today. Great to have those of you joining us at our Granite City House campus. Today, we've been in this series, Bewildered, for 3 weeks now. What we've been talking about is these different habits of the heart that enable us to counteract what we've called enemies of the heart that just wreak havoc and sabotage our hearts, our lives, our relationships, just virtually every aspect of our lives. And of the four primary enemies of the heart that we're talking about in this series, the one that we're going to look at today is probably the most obvious and possibly the most dangerous. The enemy of the heart that we're going to be talking about today is this thing called anger. Anger. And when you talk about anger, of course, you're not just talking about anger, because when we don't deal with our anger in a healthy and an appropriate way, what happens is that anger morphs, it transforms itself into bitterness in our life. There's this poison that makes us miserable, that makes those around us miserable, because what we do is we begin to take our frustration out on them, and through our huffing, our puffing, our ranting, our lashing out, our stewing and spewing and all that stuff. The people around us, what ends up happening is we just kind of leave this wake behind us of people who are hurt, confused, wounded. Like, where did that come from? Why did they say that? What was that all about? Now, When it comes to anger, at its most basic foundational level, anger is a result of us not getting our way. That's what anger is all about. It's about us not getting our way. And throughout this series, we've said that these enemies of the heart can be thought of in terms of a debt. And when it comes to anger, what anger basically says is, you owe me. You owe me. And so people who are angry, they just kind of live thinking that life owes them, that people owe them. You know, you've wronged me, you hurt me, you owe me. My company owes me. And a lot of times, angry people, they don't even care who it is that pays. They just want somebody, like, I want somebody to pay back for the wrong, the hurt that I've experienced, the injustice that I've been through in my life. You owe me. You owe me. Now, when we think about anger, for most of us, I think what typically comes to mind is a more obvious, more overt, more kind of explosive form of anger manifests itself, with people kind of blowing a gasket, people yelling, people having a really short fuse, just kind of this inner monster just kind of comes out and just starts railing on people around. I mean, that's a lot of what we think of when we think of anger. And that is certainly one form of anger. It's kind of on one end of the continuum of anger, maybe that explosive anger. But on the other end of the continuum, there are all kinds of different forms, manifestations of anger along the way. But on the other end of the continuum of anger, there's this kind of more subtle form of anger. But even though it's subtle, it's potentially just as dangerous, just as destructive and damaging as a more overt form of anger. Now, there's this more subtle form of anger. A lot of times will manifest itself more through stewing. It'll manifest itself through just kind of sarcastic, little belittling, condescending comments that we make by being disrespectful, undermining people. Sometimes we use like the silent treatment to get back at people. It's kind of this passive aggressive thing that goes on. What's interesting is that when we're dealing with anger, a lot of times we don't even realize that that's really what's going on inside of us. We've got this emotion that's swirling, but we don't really identify it. So what happens is we try to bury it, we try to put a lid on it, but it doesn't stay buried. It kind of festers internally, and gradually and eventually, if we don't figure out what it is and identify it and deal with it, eventually it becomes bitterness. And the bitterness in our life doesn't stay bitterness. It almost invariably seeps out, or in some cases bursts out and just wrecks relationships. Now, in my life, I've certainly had plenty of opportunities where I've been hurt, where I've been wrong. And in the midst of that, there are times I just get so frustrated, which is just a word that we use for anger, right? Because we don't like to use the word anger. We don't like to admit that we're angry. I'm mad. So we say, I'm frustrated. But that frustration I have, it's anger. And A lot of times I don't even, you know, I don't even realize that it is anger at that point. And, you know, it may not come out, and typically probably doesn't come out as, you know, just yelling or jumping down somebody's throat or some real overt deal. But I'll find myself doing more often is just getting a little bit sarcastic, just kind of making little short, little cutting little comments here and there. And at times what I'll do is I'll just try to blow this emotion, whatever it is that's going on. I haven't identified it, and I'm just trying to blow it off. And so in that process, what really happens is I look back as I realize that I kind of distance myself from people. I kind of put up a wall. I lose respect for individuals. I don't trust individuals because I've been hurt, because I've been wrong in this situation. But probably the worst part is there are times where I will find myself, without even realizing what's driving it, I will find myself taking out this frustration, which is actually anger, taking out this frustration on my wife. Or I found myself taking out this frustration on my kids or on whoever it is that's around me. But the reality is that I'm not even frustrated. I'm not even angry with them. But I'm taking out frustration, anger that I have towards other people on whoever it is that's right around me. And as I've looked back on my life over the years, I've realized that if I don't go to the source, if I don't figure out what's behind the stuff going on, the emotions going on inside me, I tend to just repeat it. And I tend to do it again and again until I go, oh man, what's the source of this in your life? Now, throughout this series, we've said that we probably all have those moments in our life where we're just kind of bewildered by some of the things that we say, some of the things that we do. And that is certainly true when it comes to this anger thing. I mean, we'll lash out at somebody, we'll yell at somebody, we'll lose our cool, we short with somebody, we'll bark at somebody, and we're like, where did that come from? I mean, that's not like me. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. And we'll tell ourselves that we're never going to do that again. And we'll apologize and say, oh, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I was so short and stuff. And we mean it, don't we? I mean, we really do. And yet somehow we end up so many times going back and doing the same thing again and again and again. And we'll try to modify our behavior, and we'll come up with excuses for why we're doing it and why this happened, and we'll blame this or that or this that person, this other person for this anger, for this bitterness in our life. We'll rationalize it away. But what we're doing most of the time is we're just dealing with surface, superficial, kind of periphery stuff, just the symptoms. We're not really going to the source. But nothing is ever going to change in our life, really, until we get to the source, till we get to the root of it. And we've said that the source, even though we like to blame and accuse and rationalize, and it's all somebody else's fault, and when we get to, we would like to think that it's somebody else, it's someone out there. The reality is the source is not someone out there. The source is not them. The source is in us. The source is our heart. And we've looked at this passage of scripture, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. We're going to throw it up here on the screen. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? You see, the internal monster that wreaks havoc and sabotages our lives and our relationships is actually our heart. And we're never going to get to the bottom of things. We're never going to get to the root of things until we acknowledge that. What we need to do is we need to acknowledge that our hearts are deceitful. We need to acknowledge that our hearts are fouled up. What we need is a change from the inside out. And God wants us to find wholeness. And he wants us to develop strong, healthy relationships and marriages and families. But wholeness, what we need to understand is that wholeness, experiencing that, it begins in the heart. And we looked at another passage of scripture in Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, guard, watch over, take care of, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do, think about that, everything you do flows from it. So, if everything we do, our attitude, our thoughts, our words, our behavior, our anger, our bitterness, if it all flows from the heart, man, whatever we do, we need to make sure that we are monitoring our heart. And we said that in order to counteract these enemies of the heart, what we need are some new habits of the heart. In order to break a habit, we need a new habit. And last week, we talked about the first habit of the heart, which is true confession. Not just regular confession, because a lot of us, when we think about confession, what we think of is just admitting that we've done something wrong. No, just admitting it, just to kind of feel better ourselves, just for some conscience relief. And so when we do something wrong, we just kind of go, oh, God, sorry, forgive me for wronging that person. But there's really no intention on our part of changing anything. But true forgiveness isn't just about feeling better. It isn't just about conscience relief. True confession is about change. Okay? It's about restitution. It's about making things right. So when we practice this and we develop this new habit of confession, what we do is we come to God, we say, God, man, I forgive me, I have wronged this person. I don't want that to be a pattern in my life. I want to honor you. I want to honor them. And so, God, I want this to change in my life. And here are the things that I'm planning on. God, with your help, I'm going to change in this way. And then, we don't skip this right here, then we go to the person that we have wronged, and we confess to them that we've wronged. Because when we confess our sin, the sin that we've committed against someone, to the person that we have committed that sin against, chances are we're not going to commit that sin against them again. See, when we confess to individuals, what that does is it motivates us to change. So we need to develop this habit of true confession because it breaks the cycle of sin and guilt in our lives. Then the second habit of the heart that we need to develop in our lives that we're going to be talking about today is the habit of forgiveness. We need to develop the habit of forgiveness. You see, to counteract guilt, we need to develop this habit of true confession. But to counteract anger and bitterness in our life and resentment, what we need is to develop this habit of forgiveness. But forgiving isn't necessarily as easy as it sounds, because there's a lot of confusion out there as to what it actually looks like, how you actually do it, what it means. Now, Jesus, I think most of us would certainly agree that Jesus is the ultimate example of sacrificial love and forgiveness. But a lot of us, even though we know about Jesus for forgiving us and we've experienced his forgiveness in our life, in spite of that, a lot of us, we still struggle with if we're really going to forgive, and if we decide we're going to forgive, how exactly do we do that? And when you look at Scripture, like you look at what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, which is what we're going to be looking at today. So if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. But when you look about what Paul says about this whole forgiveness thing, it just seems like such an unreasonable and kind of unrealistic demand. I mean, look at what it says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. We're going to throw it up here. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Now, as you look at that, you realize, I mean, he's actually commanding us. I mean, he's commanded to get rid, think about this, get rid of bitterness and anger. And the word there in the Greek that's translated kind of get rid of is actually what it means is get off, get it off of you. Push it off, you know, get rid of it. Now, I don't know if you've ever like unintentionally walked through like a spider web, you know, something like that. I don't know what you do when you do that. Is sticky spider web, it's like to me. And so when I go through it, I mean, as soon as I have that, it's like, I want to get it off of me. Anything that remotely feels like the sticky web deal, I'm trying to brush it off, get it off my hands, my face, my clothes, everything. I want it off. I want to get rid of it. But that's basically the thought behind this phrase, get rid of. Get it off now. And in the verse it says we're to do, look at it, it has that word all in the same verse. Look at what it says. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. So what Paul is saying here is he's covering practically every base he can think of when it comes to things that create tension, that drive a wedge in a relationship. So he's saying whatever your negative emotions are and whoever it is that they're geared at, so he's getting it here, he's saying get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Now, I don't know about you, but that just sounds pretty insensitive coming from a guy that lived, you know, whatever, some 2,000 years ago. He doesn't know anything about what's going on in, you know, my life today. I mean, think about what it would be like if I were to get with you and you didn't know me. So I'm like a total stranger walking up to you. And I said, you know what? You need to get rid of all the anger and all the bitterness that you have towards your ex-husband or your ex-wife or whoever it is that's driving you just crazy in your life. You just get rid of all the anger, all the bitterness. What would your response be? Probably wouldn't even be able to repeat it here, actually. But if we did, the G-rated version would probably be something like, who do you think you are? And why don't you just mind your own business? You don't even know what I've been through. You don't know what they've actually done to me. Mind your business. Now, the reality is, if I were to slow down long enough to hear your story, chances are I'd go, wow, yeah, you have every right to be angry. You have every right to be mad. You have every right to want to get back at them. Nobody should treat somebody else that way. I mean, it just shouldn't happen. But before we write Paul off and what he said, just for being like totally out of touch with reality, totally out of touch with what's going on in our world today when he talks about, you know, letting go of this stuff. We need to remind ourselves that when Paul wrote this, I mean, he's not sitting at his laptop in a hammock on some beautiful white beach in Fiji or whatever. I mean, Paul is sitting in a cell, a Roman cell in prison. He's been through shipwrecks. He's been beat within an inch of his life. I mean, if anybody had reason to be angry and bitter at life and all kinds of things, it would be this guy. And yet what he in essence says is we need to get rid of every trace of bitterness and anger. But, it still doesn't seem very realistic, does it? I mean, our anger is really just a response to people and circumstances around us. It's just a response to what people have done to us. I mean, so when we read this, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice, we think, there's no way. And I can't do that. I can't get rid of that stuff. They hurt me. I mean, they wrong me. They owe me. They owe me. So I was like, what did the Apostle Paul know that we don't know? And the answer to that question is in the very next verse. It goes on. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Then it goes on, verse 32, and says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Oh, forgiving each other. Be kind, compassionate. Instead of letting bitterness and rage and anger and brawling control our lives, it says we need to extend kindness and compassion when people wrong us. And then, as if it's no big deal, he goes on and says, forgiving each other. And the implication there is that forgiveness is what enables us to be kind and compassionate to people who certainly haven't been kind and compassionate to us. And if Paul had stopped right there, we would probably just go back to all of our excuses about how badly we've been treated and how unfair life has been. And we could rationalize and make excuses as to why these people who have wronged us don't deserve to be forgiven. But the interesting thing is he doesn't stop right there. And the next little statement in this verse is what should really get our attention when it comes to this habit of forgiveness. Look at this. The verse actually goes on. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. And look at this. This right here is the game changer. This next phrase, just as in Christ, God forgave you. See, the kindness and compassion it's talking about should be fueled by an attitude of forgiveness, but not just any forgiveness. By the same kind of forgiveness that was extended to us by God himself. Now, if you have your outline there, or even your Bible open, you might want to highlight or underline those words, just as. Because that little statement right there, just as, is the key to allowing God to rid our hearts of the bitterness and resentment that have wrecked so many people's hearts and lives and relationships. You see, forgiveness is simply the decision to cancel a debt. You might write that down there in your outline. Forgiveness is simply the decision to cancel a debt. So when Jesus died on the cross, he died to cancel a debt that we, all of us, that you and I owe because of our sin, because of our wrongdoing. Forgiveness is simply a decision to cancel a debt. You see, when we look at forgiveness from the perspective of our hurt or of our pain, forgiveness just kind of feels like a decision to reward the person that hurt us. But when we look at forgiveness from the perspective of the cross, forgiveness is simply a gift from one undeserving person, one undeserving soul to another. But it's a gift that allows us to break free from the poison of bitterness and resentment. You see, when I accept God's gift of forgiveness, I'm set free from the penalty of sin. That's what I get when I accept God's gift of forgiveness. But when I extend forgiveness, that person who hurt me, that person who wronged me, I'm set free from the poison of bitterness and resentment. See, the kind of forgiveness that we see here in Ephesians, in this passage of Scripture, it really doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make sense unless we ourselves have been forgiven. We're to forgive, it says, not because they deserve it, because they don't. We're to forgive. They've wronged us. We're to forgive, though, not because they deserve it. We're to forgive because we have been forgiven by God. That's why we're to forgive, because we've experienced forgiveness from God through Jesus. See, when people are hesitant to forgive, typically it's because they're evaluating their decision in light of what has been done to them rather than in light of what has been done for them. When we think about forgiveness from that perspective, what's been done to us, you go, oh man, I don't know about this. When we think of forgiveness in light of what has been done for us by God, that we ourselves have been forgiven in our lives, it changes everything. Perspective changes things. In my own life, I have been forgiven by God for a debt that there is absolutely no way I could ever, ever repay. God knows all about my selfishness, my self-centeredness. He knows about my pride. He knows about my ego. He knows about how I have hurt people in my life. I've hurt people that I care about. I've hurt people that I don't even know about. I don't even know that well. He knows about that junk. He knows about the impure thoughts. He knows about all the garbage, all the baggage in my life. And he still chose to forgive me. The least I can do is turn around and cancel the debt and forgive those who have wronged me. You see, if we're Christians, we're not expected to treat others the way that we have been treated by others. We've been called to treat others the way our Heavenly Father treats us. We don't forgive because the other person deserves it. They don't deserve it. They have wronged us. That's not why we forgive them. We forgive them because we have been forgiven by God. That's what it means in this verse. That's what it means by just as God forgave us. And by the way, this gift of forgiveness is a gift that we're to give in spite of how we feel. See, I don't know that I've ever felt like forgiving. Because you see, I mean, forgiveness just runs so contrary to our sense of justice and fairness that we may never feel like forgiving. But whether we feel like forgiving or not, we need to do it. We need to forgive anyway. If we're going to break free from the bitterness, the resentment in our life that's poisoning us and that's wrecking relationships, we need to forgive. Now, in the time that's remaining, what I want to do is I'm going to get real, real practical and give you four phases of forgiveness. And it's more than just steps, but because for steps we think of, I mean, it's just one, two, three, these easy, quick little steps. This is more of a process than it really is steps. So these are the four phases of forgiveness. So number one, the first thing that I want you to get that we need to do, if we're going to move into this process of forgiveness in order to break free, in order to counteract the bitterness and resentment that's messing our lives up, that's poisoning us and poisoning our relationships. Number one is I need to identify who I'm angry with. I need to identify who I'm angry with. Now, when you first hear that, that may sound silly. It may sound goofy. It's like, oh, why do you need to do that? But it's not. And here's the reason. Because when we're talking about forgiveness, this is more than just the decision to move on with your life. I mean, some of us are just saying, oh, I just need to move on. I just need to try to forget the past. That's not what we're talking about. This is a lot more than that. You see, forgiveness is a conscious decision to cancel a debt. If you make the conscious decision to cancel a debt that someone owes you, they've wronged you, they've hurt you, they owe you, then you need to identify what that debt is, who it is that has brought that debt into your life. So I would encourage you, make a list. Make a list of the people who've mistreated you. Make a list of the people who have taken advantage of it, who have used you in some way. Go back, you know, as far as you can. And don't just assume that you've forgiven someone just because you've kind of put it behind you. You've kind of moved on in life. You may still be carrying some bitterness, some resentment from that. So think through, who are the people that you don't even ever want to see again? And chances are you don't want to see them. There may be some anger. There may be some bitterness somewhere that's there. Who is that person that you would love to pay back if you knew that you could get away with it? Someone that may need to be on that list. Who is it that you wish you could give a piece of your mind to? Who is it that you secretly wish would fail? Just kind of poke around in your life. Think through it. It may be family. It may be friend. It may be an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend. It may be an ex-husband or wife. It may be a parent that passed away. Maybe it's somebody that you worked with. Maybe it's a coach. Maybe it's a boss in your life. But think through the different people who have hurt you, who have wronged you, who have taken advantage of you. Make a list. For years, I carried anger and bitterness in my life that I hadn't identified. And so I went through with this anger. I hadn't identified that it was anger and bitterness. I hadn't identified the person that I was angry or individuals I was angry towards. But it was finally when I realized that I was carrying anger, that I was carrying bitterness, and it was affecting me, it was affecting relationships in my life, I began to realize who it was directed at. And I identified that person. When I finally identified the individual and then found out, oh, here's another individual. When I identified the individuals I was holding the anger towards, the bitterness toward, it set me on a path toward wholeness. So you need to identify who I'm angry with. The second phase, if we're going to deal with the anger, the bitterness that's poisoning us, and we're going to move into this process of forgiveness, number two, I need to clearly identify the debt they owe me. I need to clearly identify the debt they owe me. Now, I think it's easy to just kind of skip over this phase right here, but when we do, we end up just kind of forgiving in a a superficial, shallow, just kind of general sort of way. And when we don't get specific, a lot of times we end up carrying deeper levels of bitterness with us, of hurt with us. And what happens is, even though we've forgiven on the surface level, because we still have this deeper hurt inside us, that deeper hurt becomes bitterness in us. And what ends up happening is we have to go back and deal with the same issue again, just not on the superficial level. We have to go deeper and deal with the deeper level. So we might as well go deep and then figure out what's behind it to begin with. So we need to clearly identify the debt that they owe me. You see, you know what the person who hurt you did. But what exactly did they take? What exactly do they owe you? You see, until we know the answer to that question, we're not really going to be able to forgive fully. I mean, we may go through the motions of forgiving, but we probably won't experience much freedom because there's still hurt, there's still pain that we're carrying with us, that we're holding on to. We've got to peel back the layers. We've got to get to the bottom of the hurt in our life. General forgiveness doesn't heal specific hurts. So it's really important to pinpoint what it is that they've taken from you. So think through. Think through that list. What do the people on your list owe you? What did they take from you? What is it that they need to do? In other words, and you can think of it from this perspective, what do they need to do to make things right? What do they need to do to make things the way they were? Is it an apology? Is it money? Is it time? Is it a marriage? A family? A job? Maybe a reputation? A promotion that you didn't get that you should have gotten? Maybe it's a whole season of your life. You see, we can't really cancel debt we haven't clearly identified. But in most cases, what you're going to realize is that the debt they owe can't really be repaid. I mean, can a father who's abandoned his kids ever really make up for that? Can a son who's made his parents' life like a living hell for years, can they give those parents, can that child give parents back those years that they took from them? How does a mother pay back her grown daughter? She was never there to tuck in bed at night while she was growing up. How do you do that? You know, you can't pay back for a ruined reputation. How does someone give you back your innocence? How do you pay back for lost purity? The truth is, nothing can make up for the past. You see, there's like an emotional element involved when we're wronged or hurt that can't be completely compensated for. Even with an apology, even with money, even with whatever promises we make. And when we live our lives waiting and insisting on some kind of payback, because I just want there to be some kind of payback, what it ends up being is it's just a waste of time. It's just a waste of energy. All it does is set us up for more heartache and more pain. And the poison of bitterness just goes infecting us more and more and more deeply. And this person that hurt us, if we don't deal with it appropriately and we continue to hold on to it, we don't identify it, this person who hurt us continues to hurt us on an ongoing basis, over and over and over. The best thing that we can do is cancel the debt. And that's the third thing. Third phase, number three, I need to cancel the debt. Once we've identified exactly what was taken, what we need to do is we need to cancel the debt. We let go of it. Just like Jesus canceled our sin debt when he died on the cross for us, we need to do the same thing. You and I, we need to cancel the debt that people owe us. Now, this may be as simple as a decision that you make internally in your heart, or it may be something more tangible. I've heard of people who've made a list, the list that we're talking about. They've written out the name. They've written out the things that were taken from them, the debt that they were owed. They've written all that out, and then they've taken that piece of paper, and they've burned it. symbolically saying, I cancel this debt. Or they've taken that piece of paper and they buried it in their backyard. I've heard of some who've taken it and they've nailed it to a cross, symbolically acknowledging, I am canceling this debt. I am forgiving them in the same way that I have been forgiven by God. And it's a reminder that that person is also open and available, can have God's forgiveness in their lives. And at times when we've held on to bitterness for years and years in our life, I mean, having something tangible like that, I mean, can be really helpful to just add some closure to define and add some finality to things. But in just the daily offenses, it could be something as simple as just saying, Heavenly Father, so-and-so wronged me. They hurt me. They took this from me and they took this from me. But God, I am choosing to cancel that debt. I am choosing to forgive me, God, in the same way that you forgave me. They no longer owe me. He no longer owes me. She no longer owes me. And we forgive. We cancel the debt. But there's a fourth phase that's so important, and that is, number four, I need to choose not to reopen the case. I need to choose not to reopen the case. This is a daily decision that we need to make, to not reopen the case. And what's so hard about this decision is that a lot of times our feelings, our emotions, they don't follow our decision to forgive. And we choose to forgive and we say, I am canceling this debt. And within 5 minutes, there may be something that happens that reminds you of what they did to you. And all of a sudden, all these emotions, these feelings, I mean, they just come flooding into you. But at that time, rather than allowing your mind to take off and replay all these things that you've already replayed in your mind, how unfair this was, how wrong it was, how bad they hurt you, what jerks they are, and you hope they get run over by a bus, all these other things. Instead of allowing your mind to go there, and instead of just kind of burying or ignoring, just kind of blowing off these emotions, these feelings that you're feeling, you need to own the feelings. But you also need to remind yourself that you have already chosen to forgive that individual. And so you go back and you tell yourself, you remind yourself, I have chosen to cancel that debt. I have chosen to forgive this person. I forgive you. I cancel the debt. You no longer owe me. He no longer owes me. She no longer owes me. And then you thank God for giving you the grace and the strength to forgive that person. But it's a choice that you make. Say, I am canceling that debt. And then you don't reopen the case. Now, we're going to wrap up. We're going to pray just a minute. But in my experience, when people discover that they have like a physical heart disease, their overriding concern at that point is not typically, how did this happen? Where did this come from? Whose fault is it? And the overriding driving concern at that point is, how do I fix it? And my hope is what drives you when it comes to counteracting this poison of bitterness and anger and resentment that gets hold of us and messes us up and messes up our relationships. I hope that the driving concern for you is the same. What do I need to do to fix it? And what you need to understand is that blaming isn't going to fix it. What you need to understand is that waiting for an apology isn't going to fix it. It may come, it may not. The cure is forgiveness. What we need to do, if we're going to counteract this unresolved anger and bitterness in our life, is we need to develop the habit of the heart of forgiveness. We need to decide, I am choosing to enter into this process of forgiveness. And it's really quite simple, but not easy. It's as easy as declaring, I choose to forgive you. I choose to cancel this debt you owe. You no longer owe me. You no longer owe me. You no longer owe me. From one forgiven person, from one forgiven soul to another, you no longer owe me. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here today and you've never experienced, accepted God's free gift of forgiveness yourself, I invite you to experience and accept that gift. And if you've never experienced it, God's forgiveness in your life, you probably won't be able to forgive in the way that we've been talking about. And that bitterness, that resentment is going to continue to poison your life and your relationships. What you need to know is God loves you. He wants you to experience that forgiveness. And just right where you are, why don't you pray in your heart and just admit, God, I know that I've blown it, I've messed up, I've sinned. Times I've ignored you, God. I've turned my back on you. God, I know and I admit that I've wronged people. There are times where I have been wronged. Or God, I'm tired of the anger and the resentment, that bitterness driving and affecting my life and my relationships. And so God, today, I'm accepting, I'm receiving your gift, free gift of forgiveness. I'm placing my trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross to cancel the debt I owed because of the sin in my life. I want to follow Jesus, and I want to follow his way of love, his way of forgiveness. And I hope that we will all pray that God, starting today, I want to develop this new habit of the heart. I want to develop this habit of forgiveness. God, today, I am committing to enter into this process of forgiveness. And I'm not going to keep waiting around for an apology. I'm not going to keep waiting around for them to make things right. Whatever they do, one way or the other, I am choosing to forgive. And I am choosing to enter this process and cancel this debt. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love and the forgiveness that you made available to us. It is what enables us to break free from this poison of bitterness and resentment that comes from our anger. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.